Thanks for tuning into Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
I want to get right into the stuff that God's been speaking to me about during this coronavirus. As you know, in 2007, God began to tell me about the crash of 2008 and revealed to me the crash of 2020 at the same time. Walked our church through 2008, it's going to be great. 2009 is going to be fine. 2010, we're going to win. 2011 is going to be heaven. And then, of course, now we're in the banner years. This is our jubilee. In 2020, you're going to see with 2020 vision, the hopes and dreams become a reality into your life right now. We saw prisoners released. In fact, in a second, I want to show you that a video of prisoners being released to kind of, I don't know, to just validate maybe new people who may be watching for the first time, the prophetic side of this ministry. In fact, God began to speak to me that in 2020, loads of prisoners would be released and debts would be canceled. And people that were bound would be free. So kind of check this video out. In Jubilee, all debts are canceled. Every prisoner that is in prison will be set free.
It was the largest single mass release in U.S. history.
I'm talking about people that are in prison in debt, people in prison in porn, people in prison in alcohol, people in prison in a bad marriage. I'm talking about anybody that feels like they are held captive. And then all property goes back to its original owner.
A good effect for home buyers and those looking to refinance. Mortgage rates are now at their lowest level in history, and they seem poised to go even lower.
And you need to tell the devil, if you think I'm just going to walk through 2020, you are wrong. I'm going for a strong anointing. Somebody ought to shout for joy that they're coming out of debt, that they're coming out of prison, that they're coming out of lack, that they're coming out of defeat. The battle is over.
Come on, I know you're at home right now, but can you feel that? The battle is over and the victory is ours. 2020 is still your year. Don't you give up. Don't you cave in. Don't you get exhausted, emaciated. God is for you. Who and what can be against you? Just like God spoke to me those things, which now is documented on the news, God showed me something else this last week. Coming into Palm Sunday, I was praying, and I actually saw this in a vision. Okay, obviously, this is a beautiful plant that's about to kind of lose its life. And I saw this beautiful plant, and I saw people were all going after the fruit. And the Lord said they really need to be going after the root. So we know we're doing all kinds of, people are doing all kinds of like, oh my gosh, you know, research. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. Is the coronavirus going to kill us? What about the economy? And they're looking at all these things. They're looking at the situations where people are always saying, hey, there's all these different groups. Maybe it was a bat that did it. Maybe it was a bird that did it. Maybe it was people who did it. And so they're going after the fruit instead of the root. It doesn't matter what kind of conspiracy theory, and I'm not saying that those aren't true. I'm simply saying, don't go after the fruit, go after the root. If till we pull this out by the root, we will never actually kill, deprive of power, the ability of the enemy to actually take advantage of us. The scripture for that, and I didn't even know it till God showed it to me. I didn't know this in the Bible. You're going to love this. In Isaiah Chapter 8, it says, the Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everybody else does. Come on, smart people ought to shout. I don't think like everybody else does. It might just be your cat or your dog or your kids, but I want you to say it at home. I don't think like everybody else does. If you think like everybody else does, you're going to go in the path of everyone else. Don't call everything a conspiracy like they do. And do not live in dread. It only frightens them. Make the Lord of the heavenly armies, the holy God, make him your purpose. Make him your delight. This scripture is saying, don't go after all these conspiracy theories. Again, not saying at all that those aren't true. Just simply saying, no matter who did it, we know at the root, it's the devil. Because the Bible said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Some people tell me, well, I don't believe in the devil. Well, the devil told you that, stupid. The devil is real. Come on, somebody. Somebody might be saying, my devil's been living in my house all week, and it's 9 years old. Well, we're actually talking right now about how to deal with the root of fear. So I want you to overcome this root of fear. Cast your cares upon God, for he cares for you. He's going to take care of you. Number one, I want you to understand, just like the Lord told me it was your jubilee, some people are saying, is this the rapture? Is this the tribulation? What's going on? No, we're not going through the tribulation. We're actually in the part of the Bible, and we'll talk about it in a minute, in Matthew, where it talks about the birth pains that are happening. This is proven fact that we know about Noah's Ark. We know about Sodom and Gomorrah. We know about difficult times that people have, you know, passed through and traversed before. But here's what Jesus said in Matthew 24. It says, Jesus now sat on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and they came in privately saying, what shall be these things? What will the things be? What will be the sign of your coming, the end of the age? And Jesus answered them and said, take heed that no one deceives you. Many, pay attention to this, will come in my name. So you see the bumper sticker that says there are many ways to God. There are many ways to God. There's only one way to God, and that's through his son, Jesus. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. Remember this? He said, I am the way. So it's like, can't we all get along? Yes, but there's only one way to get into heaven, and that's receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a relationship. You often hear me say, when you get to heaven, you'll see a door. First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic, all these different synagogues. You'll see all these different doors. People are going to the door, and those that believed in Jesus will walk in, and Jesus will be the life giver of the room. Some people say, is God black or is God white? And I always say, you'll be surprised when you get in there and God says, buenos dias. I believe that God is all things to all people and that he is bigger than a denomination. If your labels will limit you, if you're going up, your tag will fall off. If you're going down, your tag will burn off. Jesus is saying, hey, it's not important where you worship me. It's how you worship me, but it is me that you need to worship. And they're drilling in deeper. They said, hey, listen, be careful because many will deceive you. Then verse 6, look at this. This sounds like today's headlines. It says that you're going to hear of wars. Aren't you hearing of that? And rumors of wars. See to it that you're not troubled. These things must come to pass. But listen to this. But the end is not yet. The end is not yet. It's not over. We're going to live again. We're going to love again. Your business is going to thrive again. You're going to shop again. That little girl's like, how many days I got to be up in this house? I feel you, sis. But we are coming out on the other side. But the Bible said in the last days, perilous times would come. Times hard to deal with, struggling, troubles, trials, the things you see. Verse 7, it says, nation's going to rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. And these are, check this out, the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of sorrows. And we know that Jesus is coming back. He's going to split the eastern sky. You're going to see him someday. CNN's going to cover it, Fox News, Newsmax, everybody, CSNBC. And they're going to see Jesus, the Son of God, coming out of the clouds, the Bible says in Revelation, on a white horse, a sign of purity. And it says there's going to be a bloody vest over him that says faithful and true. Can you imagine this? And the trumpet, it shall sound. And Jesus is now coming back with a sword, which represents the Bible, coming out of his mouth. Because today's Bible is more up to date than the newspaper. I have predicted a lot of this stuff that has happened prophetically, and partly because it's based in God's word. He said this was going to happen, but he said, see to it on Palm Sunday, Faith Church, that your heart's not troubled. I know many of you are watching on Facebook and you need to hit share because a lot of your friends are troubled. They're anxious. They're watching the news 24 hours a day in the Situation Room. Well, you certainly have to have a situation if you got a Situation Room. And we now have a situation, but how big is the situation? There's a ticker tape at the right side of the screen all the time saying, here's how many people died. Well, 2,000 people die every day of cardiovascular disease, and we never put that up. Hundreds of thousands of people die and have died of all kinds of diseases such as AIDS or even a natural H1N1 or the normal flu. A lot of these things have killed a lot of people. Why is it so big right now? And I don't have all the answer for that, but I do know that God's telling me at the root of this, the root is a spirit of fear. But God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And you can't have a sound mind continually watching the situation in the Situation Room if you don't deal with the fruit. Again, not saying that conspiracy theories aren't true. Not saying, I don't know if a bat did it, who did it, but at the root, the devil did it. The devil is trying to destroy your life right now. Take these moments where you could be spending it time at home and they're paying you to stay at home. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, this is the year for you to pass over. We're going into Passover, into Easter. Pass over fear. Pass over depression. Pass over lack and say, you know what? I'm not allowing the enemy or the enemy to destroy another day of my life. So let's talk a little bit more about that. I want my son to come in a minute. When Austin was little, and he's way bigger than me now, but when he's about 7 or 8 years old, I take him to school. And when I take him to school, he always had a backpack, the most heavy backpack you can imagine. I would be like, what in the world do you have in that backpack? And he never cleaned it out. He had every book and magazine and baseballs and gloves. And I was like, man, you're going to throw your back out. But he was carrying this backpack all the time. And I thought it would illustrate right now what a lot of you guys are going through with the coronavirus. So let's put this on right quick. So Austin's got this backpack on that represents some of you today. And you're like, man, well, what am I going to do? I bought that car, and I didn't know that was going to happen. These are real bricks, by the way. These bad boys are heavy. I bought the car. I'm worried about my family and the coronavirus getting heavier. And my goodness, what in the world's going to happen at the end of this? I mean, will they send me that check? Is the government going to send me a check or not? I mean, are we going to run out of toilet paper? Because after all, we don't know about that. If these kids, I mean, I might go to jail for murder because I'm thinking about killing the one that acts like my mom. And so now you feel it, Austin? Really heavy. He's adjusting it because I am loading him down with the bad news. Here's the deal, though. At some point, you have to trust the Lord. Let's take that off you, man. That's unbelievably heavy. Wow. And you've got to have some people come along beside you and help you. Is it better with me helping you? Let's go ahead and get some reps. We don't have a gym. Don Strange will be proud of us. It's Sunday morning. We're working out. Come on now. So right now, it helps when I have somebody to help. This is where small groups come in. Now today, we got to help each other through this time. There might be a day where you feel a little depressed. I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you. I feel like that little girl sometimes. I want to get out of the house. I don't like this. I'm a people person. I'm a physical touch. And I mean, I want to be around folks. But when I'm weak, you need to be strong. And when you're, you know, strong and I'm weak, we're here for each other. And that's where small groups come in. Today, I want you to go to faithchurch.com and check out the small group section. There's a link there. Because somebody needs to come along and go, Austin, I'm going to take some of that worry. This is going to work out. It's not always going to be this way. You're going to be able to make the car payment. 2020 is still your banner year. And what God promised you, he is able to fulfill. God told us all this was happening. He said, don't let your heart be troubled, buddy. It's going to be okay. Why don't you go order a pizza right now and relax. Now, it's way lighter now, right?
Yeah.
So now he can put that on, and it feels way different. That's what I want you to do this Palm Sunday. I want you to trade that heavy load. The Bible said, take my yoke upon me. Learn of me. He said, my burden's easy. My yoke's light. If you're worrying, if you're fretting, if you're concerned, you just got to go back to what the book said. And the book said, hey, no, I got this. I'm bigger than you. Remember the song? He's got the whole world in his hands. He does. He's got it. Cast that away. Come on, somebody shout amen. This scripture right now that we just read, though, is actually strongly, I'm convinced, that it's dealing with some of the things that are going to happen in the world in the last days. I want to make sure that you understand a couple of things. Number one, do you love your kids? Come on, raise your hand if you're like, I thank God I love them. By the way, grandkids, they say, are the reward for not killing your children. You can write that down. So your kids, you love them. If there was a fire at your house, wouldn't your priority be to get the people out that you love? Well, in the last days, Jesus talks about the rapturing of his people, the people that have called upon the name of Jesus and they've received him as the Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that today, I want you to do it. Just call upon, you don't have to be in a church to do it. You can just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I repent of my sins. I make you my Lord and Savior. And I turn my back from my past and I turn my face toward you. There's no like scientific words that you have to string in a certain way. It's from your heart. In fact, a lot of times people say somebody lived their whole life and in the last moment they were killed in a car wreck and I guess they went to hell. You don't know that. You don't know how many people called out in the last moments of their life. I know that God is a good father and he loves people and he's fair and he's just. So comfort one another with that word. But my point is that you need to know Jesus right now more than ever. But Jesus is coming back for a glorious, spotless church. But he also says there are certain things that you need to make sure that you don't do. Now, Revelation 13, here's the reason why I'm reading this. In a second, I'm going to read you a scripture. And I want to take you to a video of a news clip that I saw this week from Sweden. My friend Marcus Lamb sent it, and I thought, oh, man. As a pastor, by the way, sometimes you do a bad job. You're like, I try to preach the message of hope, but then I don't always tell you about some of the things that you really need to know about. There's certain things that you have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt not to do, like the mark of the beast, right? So in Revelation 13, check this out, verse 16, he says, he causes both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark in their right hand and their forehead. For them to buy and sell, if someone doesn't have the mark of the beast or this number on their name, they won't be able to do it. So in the end times, which we're living in, eventually, when we're raptured out, when the rapture of the church happens, there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period where people will be in what they call the Great Tribulation. What you're seeing right now, being locked at home, eating Cheez-Its, ordering food, watching Netflix, that's not the Great Tribulation. The Bible says that horrible things are going to happen. Like you turn on the faucets, the Revelation said, and blood comes out. Water will be just very hard to find. People will take the mark of the beast. Now, just like the devil never shows up at your house and like in horns and a pitchfork, right? Sometimes he uses people, or you're like, yeah, that's right, he uses my wife. I'm married to the devil right now. Okay, so the devil shows up to try to steal, kill, and destroy, not with a pitchfork and horns. It comes in real slow. So when Marcus sent me this last week, I thought, man, we're closer to the end times, not the tribulation, not Jesus coming back. We're way closer than we've ever been. And so when I saw this video, I thought, I can see young people at my church going, PD, look what I got, man. This is really awesome. You know how you do Apple Pay? That's one thing, but this is quicker. You get this chip in your hand. This is really happening right now, and I wanted to address it. Check this out.
The most cutting-edge thing about Hannes Hörblad isn't the phone in his hand. It's the microchip actually in his hand. The tiny implant is the latest advance in a biohacking technology that is steadily becoming a part of normal life in Sweden.
We have created a new implant, which is not a chip, it's a full device where you can add different lights, different vibration.
Swedes haven't been shy about upgrading themselves with the new version. Thousands already have microchip implants that they use in their daily lives, waving their hand to gain entrance to the gym, confirm their ID or make payments.
I think it's really cool. You don't have to carry any keys or anything. It's just your body. In maybe 10 years, everything will be in your hand.
In Sweden, more than anywhere else, the future is already here. The national train company SJ has around 2,600 people signed up to use microchips instead of train tickets. Student Hannah Herving is also freshly chipped and now just needs to program it to open doors. Although, importantly for a future career, it does already connect to her LinkedIn. The long-term goal is for the new chips to help provide medical care in remote communities. They're already getting under the skin of the Swedes and may soon become just another normal part of modern life and of the human body. Paul Rees, Al Jazeera, Lund, Sweden.
All right, it's real, right? You're seeing it happen right before your eyes. They're putting the chip in there. And that was Revelations 13, 16. If you want to read that, show it to your friends. Here's what's happening, though. There is a one-world order, a one-world government coming into play. Doesn't take God by surprise. He talks about it. He talks about an economic system that is digital that will be a one-world controlled order. This is a sign that Jesus is coming back. And remember, this isn't just about the fruit of the corona. This isn't just about elections. This isn't just about, you know, conspiracy theories. At the root of all this, the enemy tries through an antichrist spirit to bring an anti, it's just that easy. It's an anti-Jesus spirit to say, can't we all get along? There's many ways to heaven. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, you see it your way and I see it my way. No, it's not that. The Bible says, anyone else who comes to you with anything besides this book is a thief and a robber. Come on, Facebook, say amen. You need to hit share like crazy. We have to go back to this book. This is the good book. It's the book that tells us exactly what God has to say about our health, about our longevity, about our salvation, about building our house upon the rock and not the sand. So we're not tossing, turvying back and forth. I wonder how long this is going to go on. It's going to go on. I don't know how long it's going to go on, but these are just the beginnings, the Bible said, of birth pains. So don't get upset about it. I just wanted you to know that because I didn't want kids in any church going, check this out, PD. I got a new chip. It's awesome. Open doors and it's great. Don't take the chip. Chip, come on, somebody. You can eat chips, but don't put the chip in your hand. Come on. Now, I want to go right now to bring more clarity to what we're saying today. And let's go to Luke 17, verse 25. He said, but first we must suffer many things about Jesus. By being rejected by the generation. It'll be as in the days of Noah. It will also be as the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married their wives. They were given in marriage until the day. Noah entered the ark. And then the flood came and destroyed them all. This is a true account, a historical fact, that Noah built an ark. They hadn't seen rain, but Noah said, there's a day coming when it's going to rain. And God had prepared a special ark, pitched it on the outside perfectly. And he takes Noah in this situation, and he raises him up above it. Some people say, well, he went through the flood. No, he was on top of the flood. He watched what was happening around him, but it did not affect him. He and his family were safe upon the boat. It's a form of the rapture, being lifted up to the top. But he says, in the last days now, they're all going to eat, drink, be married. They're going to enjoy their lives. But there's a flood coming. Verse 28. This is the Bible. Likewise, as it was in the day of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on that day, it's like a rapture. On that day, everybody shouted, even at home. On that day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire, brimstone from heaven, and it destroyed all of them. Even so, it will be in that day that the Son of Man is revealed. So Noah, we know, Noah's ark, he was above it. He rode above it. You're going to ride above the corona. You're going to ride above economic recession and depression. Why? Because you have listened to God's word. If God said, bring the tithe to the storehouse, you did. If God said to help those that can't help themselves, even that giving tab that's been up a lot today, that's not about us. It's about helping other people. Shouldn't we keep caring for people right now that don't have the revelation that you have? The people that don't have a job? Think about even the evangelists. We actually sent money to preachers this week that they're just evangelists. They made their living on the road, and now everything's shut down. What about those people? We should care for them. We're a great big church, and one of the reasons why God trusted us with all this is he knew that we would be faithful in these times. That's why we're giving even beyond our tithe and offering to these giving and relief programs. So it was in the day of Lot. It rained down after Lot was taken out. That goes back to my original point earlier when I said, if the house was on fire, wouldn't you get your kids out? Well, no, I really, really got to get that flower I love. I need to get that. I just got that new painting. No, you would get the most important, valuable things out. God's not so much concerned about your painting, so much about your car, so much about your house. He's concerned about you. He said that there is an eternal heaven waiting for all of us. Right now, we have family members that are in heaven, don't you? Come on, Facebook, say amen to this. You have family members that are there. Heaven's real. You may have never been to Hong Kong, but it's real. Hawaii, maybe not, but it's real. Heaven is a real place, and our family's there. And God looks at us right now and sees us doing our own thing, going our own way, acknowledging everything but God. And he goes, how do I get your attention? Maybe I should ground you to your room. When I was a young man, I got grounded in my room a couple times. How about you, right? And my dad didn't let me out of the room until my attitude changed. Sometimes it took an hour, sometimes it's 3 hours, and it was horrible. I was in the room, if you've been there, and you could hear them down there watching Starsky and Hutch, listening to the Love Boat, laughing, giggling, eating ice cream, and you're stuck in your room grounded. Right now, America, 98% of America is grounded to their room. How long will we be grounded? I don't know, but I believe there's a heart change that needs to happen in us. There's a diabolical antichrist spirit in the world that is against God and the things of God. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, I would hear from heaven and I would heal their land. It's time that the church prays instead of stray. It's time that we say, yes, football has its place, but not on God's day. It's time to say, yes, my job was important, but apparently I can live without my job, but I cannot live without God in my life. He is my priority. And just like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, just like the days of Noah, there is trouble. There is birth pains. Now, again, I want to be clear for a lot of people watching on Lightworkers or new networks who have picked us up. This has been a great opportunity to minister to a lot of people. And you don't know me and I don't know you, but I want to be clear and tell you, it's not the tribulation. Jesus is not coming back right now, but this is the beginning of birth pains, rampant immorality, business as usual. And now God's going, I'm looking for a righteous people. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says this. It says in verse 17, it says, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him and meet him in the air. That's what's going to happen. There's going to be a rapture of the church. He said, don't be ignorant concerning those who are asleep. Verse 13, he said, they sorrow because they have no hope. But we know sorrow is ones that have no hope. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Let me explain to you what that means. This shirt right here, I put it on this Sunday morning because it was just laying there, and there was a white shirt, a blue shirt, a gray shirt, a lot of shirts, but I felt like this shirt was just a good Palm Sunday shirt. So I took it out, and it had no life until I put it on. When I slid in it, it moved. It only had movement because I was in it. Your body, which is aging day by day, no chip. That body that you have right now is your earth suit. You're a spirit. That's why a lot of times your body does things that you don't want to do. You're like, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to be nicer. And the thing you want to do, you don't do because your flesh is so weak, but your spirit's willing, because there's a difference between you and your body. I'm here to tell you that someday this body's going to perish. It won't be with the coronavirus, but it's someday. Time will tell how you go on to meet your maker. I'm just asking you today to make sure everybody knows, to get ready and comfort one another with these words, that heaven is real and Jesus is going to rapture his church out. It says the dead in Christ will rise first. What's this going to look like? It's when Jesus comes down on that horse and we hear that great trumpet sound. You're going to see the dead in Christ, bodies, physical bodies will come up out of the grave, and all of a sudden they'll rise to meet him in the air. And we'll put on a new body that's a heavenly body. They say, most theologians agree, around in their 30s somewhere. And you're going to look good, you're going to feel good, and you're going to walk around on the streets of glory, and you're going to enjoy your life. So don't worry right now about dying, so much so that you don't live right now. I know it's uncomfortable. As I'm closing up today, in the next few minutes, I want you to focus on a couple things. Again, I want you to focus on the root, not the fruit. It's not about the coronavirus. It's not about the conspiracy. It's not about, did a bat do it? Did China do it? Who did it? At the end of this thing right here, there is a root. And the root cause of this is the devil. But the root cause of a lot of your problem right now is fear. False evidence appearing real. You're so afraid about, what will I eat tomorrow? How will I pay my bills? That you're not really living today. You're so afraid of dying that you're not really living. I say, let's live today. Let's say, hey, let's enjoy this Sunday. Let's watch a funny movie. Let's play some games. Let's laugh. Let's enjoy right now. You're getting paid to stay home. How often can you do this? Pass to the positive. Put down the bricks. Throw it away and say, you know what? I know that if I trust in the Lord with all my heart, I lean not to my own understanding, and I'm brave during this time and this Palm Sunday, I'm going to live my best life now. Don't be afraid. Now, we also know, here's something God told me. He said, I'm getting ready to exchange currency. There's a massive wealth exchange happening. You don't even have to be a rocket scientist to know that right now it's happening. The Bible said the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. Are you righteous? Are you doing the things that you know that God told you to do? Are you making those corrections? The sooner we make these corrections, the sooner we're not grounded to our homes anymore. I'm talking not just about other people right now. I'm asking you a question. God's dealing with me about anger and pride and resentment, animosity, all kinds of things. I'm getting better during this time. The question is right now, are you getting better or bitter during this time? Are you looking at the University of Google so you could say, hey, and YouTube, well, I can learn a new language. I could write that book. I could organize that closet. Or right now, are you still doing what you always did, saying, if I had time, I would. You do have time now. So what would you do if you had time? What we need to do is make sure during this exchange of wealth, there's also exchange of inheritance that's not just money. Where that's found is Proverbs 13:22. In the last couple of minutes here, it says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. We all love that bottom line, the wealth of sinners laid up for the just. Can I get an amen right now? Everybody like that. Like, yeah, we bought our city campus $21 million building for $6.3 million. Yes, look what God did. And I believe there's great financial opportunities for people in the future. But don't just focus on the money part. It says, a good man leaveth inheritance to his children's children. I want to tell you about my dad for a minute. My dad was a raging alcoholic with a lot of anger problems. He came home drunk, oftentimes as a cop, and would shoot holes in the walls, just drunk out of his mind. Put his hand through plate glass windows. But when he found out that he was having me, and I was his first son, he decided, you know what, I'm going to change my life. And not one time did I see Dad put a sip of alcohol on his lip. And I'm not against people having a glass of wine, but he didn't not only just abuse alcohol, he didn't touch it. I never, which I know is hard to believe, can't say it about myself, but I can say it about my dad. I never heard him one time ever use a cuss word. I never saw him cheat on my mother. This guy really, really left an inheritance to me, something that I really need to look up to. And I could look up to him and still do, because he left me an inheritance. Sure, he left me a little bit of money, but not much. What he really left me was the root. Yes, people always want the fruit. I want the money. What? How much did Dad leave me? No, he left you the root. Here's what I'm asking you to do as parents right now on this Palm Sunday. Make sure that you're leaving a fruit of righteousness to your children. In other words, what I'm saying is don't let them see you sweat during this time. Fight. Bicker. Talk like everybody else talks. What's happening? No, you're saying, I'm a faith person. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. God takes care of me. He's my El Shaddai. He's Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He's Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Come on, somebody. We have a covenant with Almighty God. He is our Father. He's going to rapture us out of here just at the right time. But while we're here and remaining, eating Cheez-Its, watching YouTube videos, streaming movies into the house, it's really not that bad. Let's just everybody calm down and let's just enjoy this moment right now and know that there are perilous times coming, but pass to the positive. There's a girl at our church. I told it yesterday on the Saturday sermon. Her name is Tammy. We actually grew up together. She, because of the favor of God, not her education, but her favor, she got a job with a large bank and became one of the presidents of that bank. Then there came the recession after 08, and they laid her off. And she was real worried. She said, I could never find another job like this. I mean, they laid me off. It was just really weird that I even got this job. But because she was so high up in the organization, they kept her on salary for 1 year. They gave her a year to find another job. She was immediately upset, rocked. A month later, she was telling me, I'm so nervous. 3 months later, I'm so nervous. And I kept telling her, Tammy, just enjoy your time off. Long story short, just about 30 days before the year was up, they called her back and said, would you consider coming back? We're going to keep all of your pay, all the benefits that you have, your time off and all the things that you have accrued over the years. We're going to keep that at that level and we're going to give you a raise. Would you come back? She said, man, I wish I wouldn't have sweated. Why did I just wear myself out for a year saving and worried? Why didn't I go out and get a steak and enjoy my life? She should have passed to the positive. God didn't leave her. It wasn't based on her education. It was based on favor. And just like the crash of 08 happened, and a lot of people at our church began to experience wealth transfer, blessing, business opportunities, I prophesy to you in 2020, it is your jubilee that all property is going back to its original owner. Prisoners are going to be released. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. And you're going to live the life of your dreams. Debt cancellation is happening like crazy. Actually, I have a text. People DM me, and somebody sent me this text. I said, hey, how you doing? It's a friend at church, and I put it up there, and I believe they got it on the screen here. I think they will here in a second. It says, it goes on to say, this is my banner year. No matter what's going on, Chanel and I received a refund check from the Board of Education, and they stopped garnishing her check. Check that out. God's our provider. Give me the next one. I think there's another one there where I text the guys. I just texted Brian. I said, how you guys doing during this difficult time? He said, we're doing better than great. Look at that. We just refinancing the house. Super stoked to tithe off of that. Maria got a raise. Also found out that we had a lien that was placed on the house. And just like that, God totally paid it off. That's debt cancellation. I've got hundreds of these that I could share with you week after week. Over the last few weeks, where people are saying, in the midst of famine, I'm taken care of. In the midst of turmoil, I've been taken care of. God is never going to leave you and never going to forsake you. You just got to know who you are.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I'd like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.